Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to The Erin May Henry Show. This is a podcast created to help you to be unapologetically yourself and get paid for it. Here, we talk all about personal branding, online business, social media marketing, and everything in between. And along with serving you some incredible lessons about how to grow your personal brand, we also have some amazing chats with extraordinary entrepreneurs and influencers about how they built theirs. This podcast is going to give you everything you need to know to become known online, grow your influence, impact, and income. So with that being said, let's jump into today's episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I hope that you're having an absolutely amazing day so far. So I'm going to keep this introduction super short because the interview that I have for you today is quite long, but a very exciting one at that. So I actually sat down with Erica Vieira, who is the host of Beauty and the Vlog, a podcast all about interviewing YouTube influencers. So Erica also has a YouTube course where she teaches people how to grow their YouTube channel. But from a different perspective to most of the YouTube courses out there, she really helps you to identify your skills, narrow down your niche, and use sales strategies to grow your YouTube. She has a rich history in sales, and I'm very excited to introduce you to her so that you can just soak up all of her knowledge about growing a personal brand and growing an online community. So without further ado, let's jump into today's chat. Erica, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Honestly, everyone who's listening, we've just been through every technical issue you can probably understand under the sun, but we are finally here and I'm so excited to be talking to you today because I really think you're going to have such a fresh and interesting perspective and some ideas to bring to all of the influencers and entrepreneurs out there. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Erin, for having me. And yes, we prevailed. We prevailed all the technology issues.
Honestly, it is so bound to happen. And there is your first tip for the day. If anyone is thinking about starting a podcast, wanting to interview people, just understand that stuff happens. So don't ever let it worry you. You know, times change, reschedule, tech issues happen. Just keep pushing through.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm at almost 150 episodes on my podcast. And let me tell you, that's just when you, especially when each episode is, you know, a guest, it's not just you by yourself. It's just you're bound. It's nothing different, right? That's the normal.
It's inevitable. Yes. Plan for the worst, expect for the best. I think the word is, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, tech issues aside, for those in the audience who are just meeting you for the first time, do you want to kind of walk us through specifically what you do with your podcast? And I know you've got an amazing mastermind that's all about YouTube. So if you could just like walk us through your journey, that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So my background is in sales and marketing. I spent years doing commercial real estate, selling commercial properties. That really got me prepared for the world of marketing and sales and marketing, but offline, which is an invaluable experience. I mean, I started off such a newbie and was basically thrown in the water and had to learn how to swim on my own. I had to do 60 to 80 cold calls a day. And then from there, I went on to sell over $55 million worth of commercial property. And after I did real estate for a little while, I wanted to try something different. I just wasn't fulfilled. It was great money-wise, but you know, I'm sure many people listening, it's not always about money. It's about, you know, personal fulfillment and really enjoying and being passionate about what you're doing. And so I decided to go into the apparel industry, and with my sister, we started a clothing line, and it was licensed apparel for women, for sports teams here locally. I'm in Los Angeles, California. So we worked with the local sports teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, and we also worked with universities out here in this area, USC, UCLA, Stanford, San Diego State, all the universities here in California. And then we basically created beautiful clothing for women that has their favorite universities or sports teams on there. So we did that for a little while, and then same thing. And I mean, there's so much. I mean, you end up learning things and you pivot, right? And then you say, you know what, this isn't what I want to do. I'm using my skills, but it's still not something what I want to do. And then I realized over time, both my sister and I realized that our heart wasn't in the apparel industry. And then we sold our company. But we did really well. So fortunately, we were able to sell our licensing rights. And then from there, I decided, I actually worked in the corporate world, but as a side hustle, I decided, hey, I want to start this podcast. It wasn't even for money. It was just more for the idea of I've always enjoyed talking to people, learning about their entrepreneurial pursuits, learning about what makes them tick and how they achieve success. And then I got the idea just by watching YouTube. I discovered YouTube a few years back. At this point, maybe it's been 6 or 7 years where I first discovered the world of YouTube, and I came across a makeup video. I've always loved makeup. I never pursued it as a career, but it was always something that I just enjoyed personally. And then I was looking for a tutorial on how to do a makeup look for Halloween. I was Cleopatra, and I was looking online, and then I discovered someone by the name of Candy Johnson. And if anybody knows the beauty world and YouTube, she is the OG of YouTube beauty tutorials. I mean, she's been around forever. So I discovered her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like, this is really fun. And I watched and devoured all her videos. And then I discovered other YouTubers, and I started watching in. And then I realized, you know what, these people, it's fascinating. They're girl next door. You know, they're just everyday people who decided to showcase their talents and their personality online. And now they've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. Now it's millions, but at the time it was more like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people tuning in on a day-to-day basis to see what they're up to. And I was like, you know, I want to interview these people. And I was seeing how they were starting to really, I'd say, compete with real celebrities, you know, movie stars and reality stars and things like that when it came to sponsorship deals and just general popularity. And I said, you know, I think these are going to be the people that are going to be the superstars, you know, in the future. So I kind of sat on that idea and marinated on it. I personally was a podcast listener, so I love podcasts. And I was always looking for a new podcast and on business, and especially women in business. And I just thought, you know, I think this would be really cool. It'd be fun. I'd love to talk to these people. And so I just decided to just start the podcast. I had no idea on how to make money. I wasn't even going to make money. I just thought I would like to talk to these people. And so over time, the podcast grew in popularity, and I grew a nice following. And then because I have such extensive experience kind of offline in the sales world and marketing, and that's really my kind of my backbone and what I do in my career, I ended up, interestingly enough, and Aaron, you might understand this now having your podcast, is, you know, I would interview a lot of these YouTube influencers, and, you know, they had hundreds of thousands of subscribers, some of them in the millions. And then we would have, you know, the recording would turn off, but then we would end up having conversations that would last sometimes an hour, hour and a half, even longer. And a lot of times they would be asking me for advice of like, okay, well, what would you recommend me do this from a marketing perspective, or from this, or, you know, I want to get your advice here. So I would end up just talking to people and learning a lot about the YouTube world. And then also kind of just, you know, by accident of helping a lot of people, became friends, we would text, call, and then just unofficially I'd be helping them just because, you know, became friends. And that's what I started to do. And then people would see success. And then I would get people on my podcast listeners, you know, asking like, hey, you know, you know a lot about this YouTube world and could you help me? And so people would email me all the time. I'd get emails, DMs, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, maybe you should try this or you should do this, or I think you should focus on this niche or do that. And I was just doing it for fun. And then eventually people were like, I just get more and more people asking me, could you help me? Could you help me? And I'm like, okay, do you want, let me just throw this out there. And I did one day on the podcast. I was like, hey, if anybody wants to like work with me, I'll sit down with you for an hour and, you know, just send me an email. It was like, there was no email list. There was no like, nothing, no sales page. I was like, if you want me to work with you, great. Just send me an email and then you can PayPal me. Right. And so it was super unofficial, super casual. And, I got quite a few responses. I was really surprised. I was like, I thought maybe like, I don't know, like a handful, like three or four people, you know, I was like, I didn't think that many people would respond. And I got like a bunch of people saying, yeah, I could use your help. Like, yeah, help me. And so I did. And it was very cool. This was maybe, I'd say at this point, this was, so we're 2018 now. I think this was like beginning of 2017. So it was a little over a year ago. And I did help some people and they saw some success. And I had a few of really incredible successes. I had, you know, one of my clients that I was working with, she ended up going from literally 1,000 subscribers to over 300,000 in less than 6 months. And she's great. I mean, she gives me a lot of credit and said, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have gone into this niche. I wouldn't have done this. I would have been on a totally different path. Had a couple other people who got their silver play buttons. They've been, you know, trying to get them for a while. And then finally they did. And other people just on a smaller scale, you know, reaching their, you know, 10,000, 20,000 subscriber milestones and things like that. So it was really cool that just from, you know, me just setting that up casually, that I was really able to change their lives for a lot of people. And then that's when I was like, oh gosh, I'm really enjoying this. Like, I really love this. I feel like I'm in my like zone of genius, you know? And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And it's funny how things happen in life. I at the end of last year, 2017, I had my second child. And then during that time, things happen, you know, a lot of times things happen in your life that makes you make major changes. And I think just having my second, I really was thinking like, you know what, I want to really find what I really love to do and really help people. And I've always helped people unofficially, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, just in life with friends, with colleagues, helping them, coach them, make them really feel good about themselves, motivating them. I was like, I really want to do that. And so I decided to start the Beauty and the Vlog Bootcamp, make it like a really official program. And I did that. And that was January of this year. And I had over 70 people sign up and it was an incredible experience. It was a intensive bootcamp, YouTube bootcamp. I brought in guest speakers. I taught on many different topics. And just during that time, I mean, some people were completely brand new. And within the bootcamp, which, you know, 60 days, they went from 0 to 1,000 subscribers. And that in itself is a great accomplishment. It's really hard to get that first 1,000 subscribers. I had other people, you know, grow 10,000 subscribers, and other people grew 20,000 subscribers. So it was incredible. And it was what I loved is that it was a range of people who had not even uploaded a video to people that have, you know, over 100,000 subscribers that signed up. So it was an awesome experience. And yeah. And so I'm going to be doing it again later this year. And it's been amazing being able to help people. So long story long. I wasn't even that short, but yes, that's a little bit about me and my story.
I was just about to say that was an incredibly elaborate introduction, but now I have like 25 questions that I just had to write down as you were talking. So I'm going to go back a little bit further. We're going to get to so much of what you just said. But one thing I really loved what you touched upon was the fact when you were talking about your apparel business, how it just didn't feel right. And you had the courage to just kind of not just drop it and walk away, but just to make a decision that was different for yourself. And something that I do know a lot of the women in this audience are so afraid to do is to, you know, they might have built up their reputation in a 9-to-5 job or have chosen a career path, but they're just not feeling that this is for me, which is obviously the goal for so many of us. What would be your advice to those women when it comes to finding your passion? It sounds like that you were just adamant at trying new things until you finally got there. But what would be your advice to those women who are just not feeling it at the moment, like, and just know there's something else for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to give just like a one, like, do this, right? Because you can say something like, well, you know, go with your gut and do that. But there's so many other factors involved, right? I mean, I live in Los Angeles. It's really expensive to live here. And you can't just say, hey, I'm going to go with my passion and quit your job and that's it. It's because you have to pay your bills. I mean, you might have a family. But, you know, one thing I would say is that always try and move forward and pursue something. So even if you have a job, and in a lot of cases, it's necessary. I think when I listen to a lot of podcasts and, you know, marketers and things like that, it's really easy, I think, for people to say, just, you know, risk it all and do it. And certain people can. Certain people have the liberty to quit their jobs. But like what I found, even so in interviewing so, like, you know, over 100 something people, most people had some kind of safety net, whether it was a spouse, whether it was a parent, whether it was something. And so it's easy then for those people to say, yeah, I quit my job and I pursue this full time. But then when you get to the nitty gritty, you realize, okay, well, they had that safety net. And so not everybody has that, right? Some people really do have to work. They have a family to support, and I respect that. And so you might have to do that, but at the same time, we are in an age where you can do a lot just with your laptop, right? You don't have to be going places. You don't have to go somewhere to record or film a video. The barrier to entry to have something like a YouTube channel or a blog is very low. There's so many incredible resources out there. So start that side hustle and just always take steps forward in pursuing your passion. It doesn't have to be your full-time thing. That's beautiful when you can get to that point, and I think that's everybody's goal. But I think if you're not there yet, it's okay. Like, be okay with that. And just know that you should always just be pursuing something. Like, be really effective with your time. And, you know, instead of spending hours watching television or, you know, scrolling on the internet or doing whatever, be just very, very, very diligent with your time and take the extra time that you have when you're not working or not with family or doing, you know, whatever you have to do to pursue that passionate interest.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you said that. And that was kind of where I was hoping that you were going to go with that, because it's so important to understand that there is no shame in having a full-time job, or as you said, a safety net. What a lot of people don't even realize with myself is, like, I probably would have had a job a lot longer than I did if I didn't have a fiance that I lived with. So you're so right. When you do get down to it, even the people that you think, oh, they just quit, they're doing it full time, there usually is something else there. But I love what you just said about really using your time wisely. And I just want everyone who's listening to know that, I mean, Erica, what time is it for you right now?
Yes, it's 10 p.m. So,
I mean, and that, you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, with our time differences, we're like, okay, I'm like, it's fine. I will do 10 p.m. Like, it's, you just get used to working at whatever, especially with, for me, I have two babies, you know, 2.5-year-old and a 7-month-old. You get used to working when you can.
Yeah. And I love that. And can you maybe take us through, because I know that just before you did mention that when you first started Beauty in the Vlog, you were at a 9-to-5 job. So can you kind of maybe take us back to that time and like introduce us to what your schedule looked like? Because I assume back then you were doing it all yourself. I know that you have an assistant now, but I mean, reaching out to influencers, recording podcasts, editing them, really trying to get all of this off the ground and then running a mastermind, that must have been a lot of work. So how did you find time to do it all?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll tell you something. I actually still work a job. So I am very good with managing my schedule. And it's even harder now because I have the two kids, but I It's not easy. And so, yeah, one of the things that I did learn is that, you know, outsourcing is hugely, hugely beneficial. I mean, when you have a job, what's good is that you do have some income coming in, and hopefully you can set some aside for that side hustle. That's like a big thing. When I first started the podcast, I was doing everything myself, but I was just doing the podcast. So I wasn't doing, you know, my boot camp. I wasn't working with clients. So I was able to dedicate just the time that I had on the podcast. And I just was very, you know, I'm a big list writer, and I'm also a night owl. So I really spent a lot of time in the evenings now, you know, and this isn't for everybody. Some people are more morning people, but, you know, I would a lot of times stay up till, and I still do it now, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, just banging at work, just doing it. And I don't know. I have a lot of energy. I mean, it's hard to say. There's so many different things. I think taking care of yourself, right? Because people always say, oh, you have so much energy, but I'm really, really particular with the food that I eat. I do really believe in like what you consume in your body really has effect on your energy levels, and your energy levels ultimately will dictate how much work you can really get done during the day. So I'm a big believer in really taking care of your body. And even though, you know, with the two young children and everything I'm doing, I don't get as much sleep as I want to, I do really make sure that I do like certain things in the sense of self-care, because you can run yourself ragged and then get sick, and then you don't have that energy to do work. So I really try as much as I can to go on a walk outside, you know, for 45 minutes to an hour and every day. And during that, I kind of, I will multitask. During my walks, I will make phone calls, work calls, or I'll be listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like I said, it's really about like healthy living so that you have the energy so that you are go, go, go. Cause I'm a person that's just go, go, go all the time.
And that's super duper inspiring, like especially even hearing that you're still working now and you have such great success with not only just your mastermind, but the podcast as well. But something that I don't know, and this is just the vibe that I'm picking up on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like that you just really, really love what you do. And I think that's so important for being able to sustain that energy, is not getting into this for the wrong reasons. You know, being an influencer, being on YouTube, being an entrepreneur, there has to be that why there that's beyond just, you know, making a living or doing something where you don't have to, you know, I think a lot of people think you maybe just don't have to work as hard. So, you know, I'll start an online business and I can travel the world, but there has to be a why there that really, really fuels you. And it sounds like you were really, really passionate about helping people and what you do. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because that's like one of the main things that I go in deep in the bootcamp was really helping people figuring out their why. And it's something that I've realized over time myself too, is that you're so right. Like when that passion is there, that and the energy is behind it. Like it, that fuels you, that gets you the motivation to keep going when things maybe get tough, or, you know, things don't always go your way. That really gives you the energy and inspiration to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. For anyone who's listening, then maybe to get a little bit of an introduction into what you do with the bootcamp, because I know I've got a lot of YouTubers, obviously, from the audience that I've attracted. So this might be a great option for them the next time you do open enrollment. But what would your advice be for someone who doesn't have a lot of clarity around their why? What are some tangible tips you do to help them find that?
So I would say, you know, if you really don't, see, I think most people do know their why, but it's hard to articulate it.
Yeah.
And like they understand, you know, to an extent what makes them passionate, what makes them excited. But it's hard to articulate and understand it. And so, you know, that's what we do dive deep. I have like 100-something page workbook that people go through that helps them understand their why and their niche. But I would say to really reflect and ask yourself some pretty serious questions, like, you know, what, you know, if you could wake up in the morning and do whatever it is that you wanted to do and you weren't getting paid for it, like, what would that be? Or like, think back at a time when you were like 5 years old or like 7 years old? What do you want to be when you were adult? Like, and why? Maybe it was an astronaut, but like maybe, you know, realistically speaking, you realize, okay, I don't want to be an astronaut, but what about that appealed to you? Was it the fact that, you know, you got to go somewhere else or you got to travel? And so, you know, and also like another question is like, what makes you cry? Not like a sad cry, but like when you get really, that really passionate, like, almost like happy cry or yeah, emotional cry. Like when was the last time you had that and why? And so those types of questions, it's really valuable to just take some like time and like quiet time, right? We're always bombarded with so much noise from social media, from television, from other people, and just taking that time to reflect, and ask yourself some of those questions. It can really be helpful. And actually I have a little like freebie workbook that I can give to the audience here that can help them get started with that too.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And I love the advice about like just getting quiet, and specifically what you just said then about there, like what would you do if you wouldn't get paid? That's such a hard question for so many people to answer, because as soon as they ask themselves that, immediately the ego jumps in and says, no, you need to get paid. You've got bills and all of this stuff. So that'd be a really great exercise. And yeah, I'll definitely chuck that into the show notes so everyone can jump on and download that as well. But just to kind of change the tune for a second, because something that I'd really love to know while we are talking more about the start of your journey is you've had some really incredible influences, and I mean some big names. So for anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast yet, definitely go check out your Erica's website. She's got a list of all the influencers there that she has interviewed. How did you go about in the beginning, like leveraging your podcast and reaching out to those people? Like, I know curation, as in sharing other people's stories, is huge, specifically when you are starting out. But I mean, what's your advice for people who are wanting to maybe do something similar, like reach out to big names, pitch themselves when they are kind of just starting out and don't have the results yet, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you know, it's something that for me, that was something that I was so used to doing especially when I did commercial real estate. You know, I had to cold call like multimillionaires, people that owned very high-end property, and I just had to get used to hearing no. And I think the problem is a lot of people are so afraid that they're going to get rejected or they're going to get ignored that they just don't want to do it. And so you almost have to go with the approach that the majority of the time people are going to say no. Like 90% of the people, especially when you get started at the beginning, are going to say no. But if you get like 1 in 10 people to say yes, that's something, right? And then that can lead to more yeses. And so, you know, I just sent cold emails out when I was first starting out. And you have to think about, okay, go back to your why, right? Like, why are you doing this? There's something about it that it intrigues you. And I would imagine that there's something in your life that you have to offer that is special and unique that probably is related to this side hustle or this whatever it is that you're doing, right? And so think about that. Maybe it's some experience that you have or something that makes you unique. And I would put that in the pitch. Like I would spin it in a way so that it creates you as an authority in whatever it is that you're doing. Where most people won't, like, I wouldn't just randomly go out and start a podcast about, you know, teaching violin, right? It wouldn't, because it had nothing to do with me. But I'd imagine that people, when you have something that you want to do, right, you have an interest in something, you've done something in your life, whether professionally or non-professionally, whatever, you have some experience in that realm. So use that and spin it in a way so that it's really presenting yourself in the best light. And so for me, I have a lot of business experience. I'm a business owner, and I want to like interview you. I spend my experience in business as having a successful clothing line, as understanding the world of sales and marketing. And, you know, I said, this is a sales and marketing podcast with a twist, and that I'm going to be interviewing you, a YouTube influencer, and sharing your message and your story with the world. And, you know, I was really in touch with why I was doing it. I thought it was fascinating. I thought these people deserve to have their stories shared. And so I included that in my pitch. So you don't have to be someone like, hey, you know, I'm, you know, Amy Porterfield, or I'm, you know, Pat Flynn, or these big names. You could definitely, there's people every day that get started with podcasts, and just start with thinking about like, what makes you special? What makes you unique? Like, what makes you an authority to even have this podcast, right? There's got to be something inside you that's making you want to do this. So go back to that and use that in your pitch.
I love that so much. And it sounds like what you were doing was pretty niche anyway. I mean, just like when you said before about like influencing YouTubers, but coming from this business and branding perspective, it really did marry the two between the podcast and the YouTube channel. Because normally you think podcasts, we're just going to interview all the business experts and then the YouTubers will stay on YouTube collaborating with each other. So, I mean, it's really about, I guess, just getting creative and kind of still, there are still parts of the market that are untapped. So you just got to put that thinking cap on. But something that I know you have lots of experience in, and even when you were just talking there, I was like, I have to talk about this, particularly for, because there are a lot of influencers, specifically YouTubers, bloggers, entrepreneurs. And something that's obviously hugely important to that is having a niche. And I know that's something that you are super, 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 super amazing at, and you've helped a lot of people to discover. For someone who is just like starting out brand new, fresh, day one, what would be your advice, you know, particularly either on YouTube or even as an entrepreneur, to go about finding the perfect niche for them?
Oh, yeah, that's such a big question.
A loaded question.
Yeah, because we spend so much time working on it. Because for some people, I think, you know, what I always say, and when I'm looking, because, you know, that's something that I realized that I was good at too, right? Was helping people really find what makes them special and unique, and helping them present that in the world in their best light. So I knew that for me, I was really good. I've been doing that forever. And so that's how I ended up doing what I'm doing today. And I think it goes the same way with helping you figure out your niche. Is like, it's a few things. Like, what are you... what experiences do you have in the sense of your education or just personal experience? You know, what do you have that other people don't have? And what happens is that people actually downplay their own personal experiences, because what happens is that they're actually, they're surrounded by those same type of people. So say, for example, like a dentist, right? You know, talking to dentists about starting a blog and this and that, they're like, well, being a dentist isn't that unique. Well, not for you, because you're around dentists all the time. Like, they're around all those people, but in the grand scheme of things, that is unique. That's something that the majority of people don't know a lot about, is, you know, specific dental issues and all that. And you can create a blog or YouTube channel or something around that. But what I find is that most people actually downplay like their expertise, and understand that just because maybe, you know, your whole workforce is doing that, or, you know, you're around a bunch of people that do that, it doesn't mean that you're like, what you're doing is not special. And so, you know, I have people write down like, okay, what's your education? Like, what do you do for a job? Like, so when I'm helping people figure out their niche, like I ask them different questions. I'm like, okay, like, what do you do for work? And I want people to even realize like, oh yeah, I can like parlay this into my niche. So I had somebody in my boot camp who, she was like doing a beauty channel and was doing a beauty channel just forever, right? And how many beauty channels are out there? So many. And I think, you know, my podcast name is Beauty in the Vlog, but the reality is it's not. I interview so many different, you know, Aaron, I had you on the podcast. I have so many different niches of people and genres of people that, it's not just beauty. And I have a lot of people that come to me and they're trying to do a beauty channel. And I almost say, don't do just a basic beauty channel, because it's way too saturated. And so she had a beauty channel, and then turned out she was a chemist. That was her job. And that's what she did every day. And I'm like, okay, well, that's really interesting. Like, have you ever considered combining the two, like chemistry and beauty? And she's like, well, I don't know. Why would people want to see that? I'm like, are you serious? Like, people would, that is so different. That is so unique. You have something very unique to offer. So she changed her niche to the chemistry of beauty. And then literally the next video that she uploaded, I think it was the next video or the second video after our session together, it got 75,000 views. And she went from like less than 200 subscribers to like 1,100 subscribers in like, you know, a few weeks. And she's like, I've been doing YouTube for like a few years. And she's like, I didn't even think of combining that, because she's like, you know, who would want to see that? It's like, but it is special. It is unique. So my point in all that is to really like, really look at what you do on a day-to-day basis. It might not seem special to you, but it actually is, because you have more experience doing that than most other people have.
Yeah, I love that so much. And honestly, this is something that I talk about all the time, is I think a lot of people are like, oh, there's no competition and just stay in your own lane. And I love that mindset and it's fine, but it's a bit naive to think that, you know, there's no one else out there, because there are. But when you can really bring a unique flavor of originality to the table, like, that is how you blow up, in my opinion. That is what is going to make you successful on YouTube or any place these days.
Exactly. And so, you know, even if you are like in a, even if it is a saturated niche, like exactly what you said, Aaron, like there's competition out there. Like there is now, there's a lot of people out there, but there's still so much room. I mean, YouTube is still in its infancy. It's just going to get more and more and more competitive. I heard a talk from Gary Vaynerchuk, who I'm sure you know who he is, Gary V. And he said something to the effect of like, you know, today, like now is the time to get into YouTube, because when you ask like a young teenager or an adolescent, you know, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, you know, what they want to be when they grow up, so many of them say, I want to be on YouTube, right? Yeah. And there's a huge generation of people that actually see YouTube as a viable career. And you're going to see in the next 3-5 years, all these people are going to get onto YouTube. So it's still a lot of opportunity there. And I work with people all the time that go from zero to hero very, very quickly once they really tap into that. And it's really like, even in a saturated niche like makeup, you know, if you have a unique perspective on makeup, like the chemistry of makeup, or, you know, you are like a real genuine makeup artist, there's so many makeup enthusiasts that go on there. But, you know, if you're a really makeup artist that has that experience, there's still room for somebody like that. And I even had another example of somebody, and she, I have so many stories. The one that I mentioned who went from zero to 300 something thousand subscribers in a few months, her name is Emma. Her channel is Emzotic, and she was doing a beauty channel. And then I would go through the whole thing. It's like, okay, what do you do for work? And this and that. She's like, well, I work with animals. I'm like, well, how do you work with animals? And we talked about it, and she works with exotic animals. I'm like, well, that's really amazing. Like, get rid of this makeup idea. Like, why don't you do animals? And she's like, no, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we worked together, and she's like, okay, I'm going to try it out. And she did. And that's within like a few months, that's when she just blew up. And she has a whole channel all about her exotic animals. And she's like, you know, I don't know. It's what I do every day and this and that. And so don't underestimate what you do on a day-to-day basis. It can be very, very special. Or even, you know, I have another example of a boot camper who, she was doing makeup for a really long time, just not getting much traction. And then she lives, she lives in Australia. And we were talking about it, and she's like, yeah, I do need to find a niche. And I'm like, well, why don't, you know, what are you passionate about? Why makeup and this and that? And it came up that, you know, she's, for her, like, she loves, you know, finding like local brands, and she wants to help people like teach them how to get makeup in Australia. I think it's a little harder than here in the States and all that. So she decided to make her niche, like, you know, the Australian, your go-to guide for Australian beauty. And so she switched her niche, and she's already seen like so much more traction, even in the last couple of videos that she's uploaded.
So, yeah. Oh my God.
Definitely find that niche.
Those stories are so inspiring. And everyone who is listening, do you know what? Not just like good, because it's so tangible, the advice that you've given. So thank you so much for that. But it really, really is a testament to the fact that there is still so much opportunity. And the worst thing that I hear from so many people is that there's no point in trying. And
that's the worst.
Yeah, I know. And I hear it all the time.
There's always a point in trying, because there's always going to be that person that's going to blow up. There's always room for new people. There's always room for new and fresh talent all the time.
Absolutely. And in my opinion, what you need to think about as well is the fact that, you know, just like the natural life cycle of people within an organization, you know, if we think of people who work their way up to the CEO and the management roles, like, they retire, and so will the people on YouTube. So there's always going to be a flow of people coming through. And I think there's always going to be an opportunity for new shiners.
And not to mention too, is that you know, what happens is that, you know, these YouTubers, they get really, really big. And then what happens is that they end up getting a lot of opportunities outside of YouTube, whether it's book deals, tours, whatever it is. And then they end up kind of putting their YouTube channel on the back burner, and then they end up themselves maybe wanting to move on to other things. So Some of the big YouTubers end up doing, like you said, kind of retiring in a way. But at the same time, the viewers are also hungry for people that are new and small, you know, especially because as people get bigger, it makes sense. I mean, from a business perspective, they monetize and they get sponsors and things like that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't always want to see that. They're like, you know, I feel that that person's, you know, selling out. And I don't want to knock that, because I'm all for finding ways to make money and monetize. And you have to, you got that big, much bigger, big following, you'd be a fool not to. But there's always room, and people are always wanting to see that new up and comer, that person that's fresh and brand new, and also that person that might not be sponsored at all in any way, shape, or form, that they're really giving their genuine, true, and honest opinion.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, I love that so much. And yeah, it really, really is just such a great tip that you gave before. Sorry, I'm just thinking back to what you said before about YouTube still is so much in its infancy. And not only is the internet at large expanding, it's going to be connected in so many more places. Therefore, more people are actually coming online. Everything is diverting to the internet. You know, brands are putting their money into YouTube. All advertising budgets are going towards YouTube. So I think, and I'm sure you agree because you just said it, but now is the perfect time to really start.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Latin American market is growing like crazy. I mean, there's so much opportunity there. Like if you speak Spanish, it's just growing like wildfire there. I mean, you know, if you look outside of the US, there's even more opportunity there because there's just more and more people going onto YouTube, going online and seeing YouTube as a viable, even career path. So there's a lot of opportunity there.
I love that. And just to make it even more broader, because I know not everyone is thinking about studying YouTube, everything that we're speaking about is relevant to everything online, any content creation and really building up your personal brand, even becoming an entrepreneur. I really think that all of the services that are being offered, if you want to be an editor, a freelancer, a coach, all of this stuff, like don't think it's too oversaturated, because there's always room for you if you bring yourself.
Because people are going to resonate with your unique perspective and what you have to bring to the table. So totally.
Absolutely. Something I did want to ask you, because, and this is going to be a weird question. It'll be like when they interview the makeup artists. But you've spoken to so many amazing influencers, and you yourself have built an incredible personal brand. And due to the fact that this podcast is all about personal branding, and we really give tips about how to grow a personal brand, how do you grow your influence, impact, income, all of that jazz. What are your top tips from the chats that you've had, if you can wrap your mind now, plus the growth of your own brand? What are your top tips for growing a personal brand?
Well, I can speak. It just sounds so lame though. Like what my first thing that comes to mind is just, it's so lame. And I hate this answer because people give me this answer on my podcast and I'm like, oh, can you elaborate? And I'm going to try and elaborate, but it's just like, I hate to say it, but like be yourself. And but be yourself isn't just like, oh yeah, but I am myself. But it's like, really? So what I think happens is that there's so much out there. Right. And you look at wanting to start a podcast or wanting to start a YouTube channel, wanting to start a blog, and we're all guilty of this, right? You look at what other people are doing and you're like, okay, well, I can do that. And then you see what they're doing and you're kind of like, okay, I'm going to kind of emulate that. And then like, before you know it, like you're putting pieces of all these different people together and you realize, wait, like that's, you know, that's not even me. right? You know, I kind of, it is a little bit me, but yeah, I was so influenced by different people. And I see that a lot in my bootcamp too, is that, it's part of like, part of learning is like understanding what else is out there. But at the same time, is people get too wrapped up in that. And then they end up seeing what everybody is out there and then almost just like forgetting to like bring themselves to it. And so what I say is, and what has helped me too, is sometimes it helps to just like, yes, be aware of what other people are doing and then just like throw it out the window, right? And then just do what you want to do. Do what comes to your instinct and your gut. Cause I've been guilty of that. There have been times where like, I'm like, oh, I have to do things a certain way, especially when I was like first starting. And then I'm like, okay, well, like I'll see like what these big people are doing. I'm like, okay, well, you're doing like that. Like that makes sense. And okay. And then I was like, okay, that's how I need to do it. And then what makes me actually realize like, that was so not me, is that somebody else will come out and they'll do it a whole different way. And I'm realized, oh my God, that's way more like me. Like if I wasn't listening or I wasn't like super paying attention to what this person was doing, like I would have probably done it that way. Right? Like yeah. I would have approached it that way. And so what I think happens is that people get so wrapped up in, looking and seeing what everybody else is doing that they forget to actually go with their gut and go with their instinct. And so I've actually, like, I'm still very aware of what other people are doing because I think that's really important, but I've been really conscious of ultimately like throwing it away and just going with my gut. And it takes some practice. And I think, I'm hyper aware of it right now. So that's why like I'll listen to people's answers and I'll just like sleep on it. And then like, I'll kind of just know, I'll like, I got to go in this direction. So like I did that even with, my bootcamp and just different things. Like it was just something that just, it came to me and it's something unique in that I didn't see it anywhere else. And I felt like it's what needed to happen in the YouTube world. And it's kind of scary because you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. It hasn't really been done before. But if you're really true to yourself, then that's the best way for you to bring your best self to the world and then present what you have to offer to the world the best possible way. So I guess my advice would be is to, shut things down every now and then and just really go with your gut and go with your instinct. And back to your question of like, what do people say is that that's the one thing everybody says is they're like, I just be yourself, just really be yourself. And that's kind of the advice that like everybody gives, but I try and break it down, so people can actually take something away from that. So,
do you know what? I love that so much. And even when you're talking then, it's so funny because I actually just recently recorded a podcast about my biggest mistakes whilst growing my personal brand. And that was the first one because I was working with a coach at the time, trying to build my brand and everything. And then you do get 6 months down the track and you're like, I hate my branding colors. I hate the way, the language that I'm using and stuff. So even if you are just starting out right in the beginning now, like, I think you're right. I think it's hard not to get a little influenced because you are still trying to find your feet and you kind of need that guidance, but as much as possible, really try to make decisions intuitively.
Yes. And as a coach myself, I'm hyper aware of that because I tell people this, like, you can take what I say and not do it, right? I'm giving you a perspective of my perspective, which is like, hey, how are we going to get your channel to grow the fastest? How are we going to get you out there? And what's going to be your this unique niche that people are going to pick up on? That's my perspective. And that's what I'm going to be bringing you. But at the same time, if that doesn't ring true to you, because I had some people that within my bootcamp switched their niche and then based on my recommendation and then switched back saying, you know what, this wasn't really in my heart. But the great thing is that the bootcamp was an environment in which people could do that. That's why I knew that my one-on-one coaching was good. But at the same time, that's why I had a pretty extensive like workbook that people can work through on their own, a video lesson that people can do on their own, and like other speakers where people can get inspiration in other ways. Because I didn't want people to just say, okay, well, this is what Erica said, I'm going to do this. if it doesn't ring true to them. So that's why I always said, you know, the number one thing is you need to find your why. I'm giving you tools to do that, but I can't find your why for you. Like, I can't tell you what your why is. And it would be a disservice for me to do that. I can help you find your niche, but that really only even comes after you really help, like, figuring out your why. And so I'm really, really mindful of that and working with people, because it's easy. Because you can hire, like you say, you can hire a coach and they'll tell you what to do. And you're like, okay, great. That sounds great. But ultimately, if it doesn't ring true to you, it's not going to go anywhere. You're going to get stuck at some point. You're going to get stagnant.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so funny. I'm so glad that you said as well, the part about, you know, you've interviewed and again, please, I know I said this at the start, but for everyone who is listening, go look at Erica's website, Beauty in the Vlog, and look at the list of influencers that she has interviewed. There are so many incredible people, and I'm sure you'll see some of your favorites in there. And I watched probably thousands of videos when I wanted to start my channel about how to start a YouTube channel. Then I watched thousands of videos on how to start a business. The one constant between every piece of advice that anyone across any industry, across any platform has ever given, is to be yourself. So it's really, really awesome that you really did expand on that and kind of give some tangible advice on exactly how to do that. But then, of course, I need to ask you, because you are the YouTube guru and you've just shown us how much you're able to help your, clients really grow and get to places where they want to go. And I know so many women want to grow their business, their blogs, their YouTube channels. For someone who is starting YouTube, what are your first pieces of advice for them? You know, I know that you've already spoken about your niche and everything, but maybe you've got some more like technical advice. Like, where do you kind of start with your clients when they are just freshly starting out and want to get to that first 1,000 subscribers?
Yeah. So, I mean, I know a lot of your listeners are business owners.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I think YouTube is a great and incredible platform. If you have some kind of business, whether it's a, you know, service business, a coaching business, you're selling products, you have an Etsy shop, you have a website, whatever it is. I think YouTube is great. And I work with a lot of business owners in the bootcamp. And one of the things that I notice that business owners tend to do is they go right for the sale, right? They think, okay, how many sales am I going to get from this one video? And I think that's a big mistake, is to approach YouTube in that way. Like, you need to see YouTube as a long game and not necessarily see it as a way for you to sell your product, but as a way to cultivate an audience. So you really need to be coming from the perspective of value. What value are you giving? And because a lot of people, what happens is, like, there's so many people focus on so many different things, and they're focused on like the branding of their channel and the channel banner. And I want to collaborate with this person and do that. When the reality is, what you really, really, really need to be focusing on is, yes, after you find your why, after you find your niche, is your value. You know, what value, what videos can you give that are really, really valuable? And as business owners, you need to come from that perspective and not like, okay, well, like, I need to make the sale, or I need to pitch, you know, what I'm doing. Because ultimately, if you provide that value, like, people will tune in, they will follow you. And then that's the best way to eventually generate sales, because you're giving a lot of value first. So that's one advice, not just for business owners, but anybody that's thinking about starting a YouTube channel, is, you know, first figure out your why, figure out your niche, but then figure out, like, for every video should be valuable. Don't start off with an about me video. Don't start off with my favorite things, because nobody cares. Like, really, unless you have some kind of big audience somewhere else, nobody cares about you. Like, nobody cares on YouTube about you yet, right? So come on there and figure out your expertise and your niche, and really figure out the types of questions that you get asked in your day-to-day life of whatever it is you're doing or whatever niche you're going to do, and create like really consumable content, like videos that aren't too long, videos that are engaging, and really answer a question. Because YouTube is, you know this, Aaron, YouTube is the second largest search engine on the web. It's owned by Google. So you really need to be hyper aware of the fact that each video needs to provide value. It needs to be answering a question. So that's one piece of advice. The other advice I would give is, if you're brand new the video and you don't have any video experience, is I would definitely take advantage of so many of the live platforms that are out there. You can go live on Instagram. You can go live on Facebook. You can even go live on YouTube, and you don't have to worry about editing. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. You could just go on and practice being live and being in front of the camera and talking to the camera and really flexing that muscle and getting comfortable with just talking in front of a camera. If it's something, say you're a blogger, or say you're just kind of toying with the idea, you get practice that way and do that for a month, and then go into starting your channel.
I love that. That's such a unique point as well, because most people would say get comfortable on pre-recorded video and then go live. But I love how you say, because then you really don't have to mess about with all of the setting up or having amazing lighting. It's so much more authentic. Yeah. You can jump in your bathrobe if you want. Like I just say that because I'm wearing my bathrobe right now. But but you know what I mean. And it really is a good way that you can practice. And I mean, start a Facebook group with just yourself in it and go live in there.
Yeah. Facebook groups are great. And, if you have some kind of platform somewhere else, if say you have a blog, if you have an Instagram account with some followers or even a Facebook, then take advantage of that. And then it's a great opportunity to engage with your existing following and, see what they have to say and come up with topics and come up with things that are really valuable, right? Mm-hmm. Tips, three tips for this or this and that. And then start engaging. It's live is great because you're engaging with people and it just gets you really comfortable with talking to the camera and understanding what people want from you also.
That's such amazing advice. And honestly, I could talk to you about this stuff for hours, but I know it is getting late.
So fun.
I want to, I actually didn't explain this to you at the start, but I do have a little game that I love to play with my guests at the end where I just give you a fire round of questions just so that they can get to know you a little bit more. It's called First Thought and they're just very random, non-incriminating questions.
All right.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Alrighty. Who is your number one idol?
Oh my gosh. It changes a lot. I'd say right now I just love Gary Vaynerchuk. I love him. I love his approach. I love the way he talks. He's just so on point with so many things. So I would say him.
Awesome. If you were a cake flavor, what flavor would you be?
Oh gosh. Cake flavor. Oh my God. These are funny questions. I would say chocolate chip. I love chocolate chip.
Yum. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, this is so, it's such a dorky movie because I have two younger sisters and we used to watch this every Christmas. We watch it maybe 10 times. And it was The Christmas Story. Mm. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's an old Christmas movie and it's just so funny. And yes, that dorky movie, The Christmas Story.
That. It's so not dorky anyway. It's completely cute and nostalgic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If you could travel to any country in the world tomorrow, where would you go?
Oh, I really want to go. I love traveling. I've been to lots of different countries. So I've checked off a bunch on my list. My husband and I, before we had kids, we went to Peru, went to Brazil, went to Argentina, went to Croatia. So there's a lot I've checked off. But right now, I've been really wanting to go to Iceland.
Oh, nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. In Northern Lights. Oh, yes, that would be lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could describe yourself with one word, what would it be?
Enthusiastic.
I love that. That is it for me. They are all my questions. Honestly, thank you so much for jumping on. This was such an insightful chat. We had a really great chat over on your podcast as well. So I'm so excited for them both to go live. I think they're going to be super, super, super valuable. But give the audience a little bit of a shout out if they can find you and anything that you've got going on at the moment, just let them know.
Yes, this has been awesome, Erin. It's been so good getting to know you from interviewing you for my podcast and now this. So I've been really enjoying being a part of this and I feel like we could talk for hours. But yeah, so I am going to be enrolling the boot camp later on this year, probably sometime in August or September. And so if you're interested and want to add your name to the wait list so that you get notifications about it and special promos for it, it's beautyandthevlog.com/bootcamp. And you can get all the information there. Also, definitely go to the Beauty and the Vlog podcast. So beautyandthevlog.com, and I'm Beauty and the Vlog on iTunes and Stitcher and Instagram and everywhere. And we have a Facebook group, Beauty and the Vlog, and just Beauty and the Vlog.
I love that. And I will leave, I know you mentioned you had that book as well for finding your vision. So I will leave that in the description as well. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you joining us. And I really hope everyone enjoyed the episode.
Thank you, Erin.
So that is it for today's episode. I really hope that it was helpful for you and that you took away some key information about how you can grow a profitable and memorable personal brand online. If you have not already, I would very much appreciate it if you would leave me a review on iTunes if this podcast helped you in any way. And of course, come hang out with me either on Instagram at Erin May Henry or in the May Collective Facebook group. Now, go out there and become known online.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.